discussing last week the inyan of kavod to one's wife. Today, Emet Hashem, will finish up the kavod topic. Of course, we're never finished, but so we broke down we broke down kavod into a few parts. First of all, we spoke about showing ava, showing love to one's wife is a way of kavod, because a lady needs to feel loved by her husband, and she bases her chashivas, her self worth, on that ava. And we spoke about that it's not a matter of how much money you spend so much. It's not a matter of doing the same things over and over again. The most important thing is to use your brains, is to put effort into thought. A small note, a small gesture, bringing something back from a bris, bringing something back, from the machine. These small little gestures, not every day, of course, the small gestures that show thought are the most powerful, really, in building a marriage. Doing the same things over and over again do not show thought, and again, don't show, in the long run, don't show any love. We spoke about complimenting one's wife. A person should do it in a realistic way, not always saying the same thing, in an honest way. The way I would say it is to, let's say in terms of food, use a scale. If it's bad, it's good. If it's good, it's great. If it's great, it's unbelievable. If it's unbelievable, there are no words to describe it. In other words, it could be on a scale. When you're not realistic about it, you don't put thought into it, everything's great. So how does she know what's really better than the next? The comments are not real. And in fact, we said that it's probably kedai once every so often. If it's something, not when she worked her head off to make a certain new kugel that she spent hours doing. But stop, if there's something she did which didn't take so much work and the taco doesn't taste good, so if you always are lying, it can defeat the whole inyan. So you say, I don't like, it's nothing against you. I don't like, this type of kugel, whatever, this type of food. Your wife has to be serious to you what she's doing. Can't just be everything's the same. It has to be serious to you. What we were speaking about at the end of last week is what I want to go back to, is that a person has to also, besides making his wife feel, as there we're trying to make, a person's trying to make his wife feel that she's a good wife. A person has to make his wife feel that she's a fantastic wife. Again, whether she's really perfect, really fantastic, or whether she's not, a person has to make his wife feel that she's doing a great job as a wife. And a person has to overcome, even if a person carries resentment for different areas where he feels his wife is lacking, a person has to overcome those feelings, those internal feelings, which is real tikkun amidas. That's real what tikkun amidas is about. Tikkun amidas is really fixing those inside thoughts. And again, if a person doesn't fix those internal thoughts, a lady will feel a husband's resentment, a lady will feel that her husband has tainas, even if he doesn't say it, and it could cause tremendous shalom bias problems. You could be a real nice person, but if you're not able to overcome your internal feelings, you could murder a person. Could murder his wife, a person could murder a marriage, because a person could say everything nice to his wife, everything nice, he does everything for his wife, everything, biggest tzaddik. If you can't overcome those internal resentment, those internal feelings, then mamash could destroy a marriage. His wife could be extremely angry and could be destroy a marriage. It's not exaggeration. That's the extent of what could damage that could come out. The last inyan we were discussing again is the inyan that a person, besides making his wife feel that she's a good wife, a person has to make his wife feel that she's a good person. If a person makes his wife feel that, she's a great wife, she's a great mother, she's a great wife, but okay, she's not a Rebbetzin, she's not Yishus Rebbe Kiva, she's not holding, stark in davening, in chesed, in shmir salashin. She's not, a lot of times, this is a tremendous problem, really. A lot of times someone gets married, and in his mind, he thought he was going to marry Chveis, he thought he was going to marry Ishas Rabbi Akiva. I think it's narrowed. She's not. Her midos aren't perfect. She gets angry, and she's not careful with her lashon hara. And the guy, like, you know, he looks down at his wife, and a lot of times he can carry resentment. She's not like he's looking around at someone else's wife who has a reputation for different areas. Chas v'chalila to be such a husband. A person's job is to. First of all, find things that your wife is good at. A lot of times, a person has a wife that, you know, a lot of times, for example, people like to have a wife that's going to have a lot of guests. Why? For selfish reasons. Because it makes them look good. The wife might not be a balas chesed. She might just enjoy, she might be a party person, which is nice. I'm not knocking. But the lady, he's not concerned with chesed, even though he thinks he is, he fools himself. He wants a wife that's going to have a lot of guests. Then they're going, yeah, okay, you're going to have an open house, we're going to have a lot of people, yeah, sure. Then he gets married. You know, his wife maybe meant when she said it, but that's not her personality. And then they don't have so many guests. And even carries, oh, my wife, she's not a balas chesed, she doesn't have all these guests over the house. And he carries resentment against his wife. And the guy's a meshuggah in the head. He really is. He's a meshuggah in the head. Because he doesn't understand that, first of all, that's not for her, that's a difficulty. She's not that type of person. For her, it's a difficulty. You want her to have guests, you're having your friends, your bachrim, your men, who she's not even supposed to be talking to. You want her to do such an outstanding chesed, to be working. She's busy with her kids. You want to put pressure on her. She wants it to be she's a good mother. And you want to kill her because of your covet, because you want your reputation to be that, ooh, you're Mr. Open House. It's such nonsense. It's such destruction that can come out of inshallah bias, out of people that are corrupted, they don't chop. What's going on? Look at it. What is your wife a good person? Does she take care of the kids? Does she, you know, a lot of ladies, their strengths are in other areas. A lot of ladies' that strength might be to say Tehillim. Who knows what the power of Tehillim is? You know, a lot of times, so she says Tehillim. Oh, so she davens. She davens it. Oh, she takes good care of the kids. Oh, so, but she doesn't have guests. Meshuggah. Would you rather a wife that's a mother and doing the important things? And the most important thing, it's one part. It's one small part of a life is how many people you bring into your house. A lot of times people destroy their homes. Not only do they destroy their homes because they destroy their wives, pressuring them into having company. They destroy their shalom bias. The wife feels the resentment. You destroy your shalom bias. Oh, but the person had destroyed shalom bias. And you don't even know all those people. Again, I don't get the whole shalom bias shmooze. But you don't even know if it's important in terms of, this is important in covet for your wife. If the internal feelings are not right, very destructive. The person, a lot of people that are having a lot of guests are not doing a favor for their mishpacha. A lot of times they don't spend enough time with their wives. They don't spend enough time with their kids. You think your kids are going to come out a lot better by how many guests you have in your home? Yes, you're teaching your kid chesed, but there are other ways to teach your kid chesed. And bottom line, there's a lot more to building a child than just showing them how many people you can have in your home. The kids need attention. The kids need love. The kids need parsha questions. The kids need a lot of attention and focus. And people just looking through superficial things. They don't understand what life is about, and they just get in their heads stupid mishagasim because they're worried about their own honor. They're not worried about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, I feel so bad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not having guests. Come on, you're just embarrassed. You just know you want everyone to think that you're such a nice person. That's not such a big, you know, people say, you know, anyone that says, oh, the guy's such a nice guy, he brings people to their home, it's usually a nonsense. Their wife's maybe a nice lady. It's not, for the husband to bring guys into the home is not a big deal. Oh, can you want to come to my house? The wife's cooking. LMI, there are some husbands that cook, and it's true. But again, it has to be that their wife wants them to. For a husband to force his wife, I'll cook, let me do it. Again, and your wife doesn't want it, rightfully so. It's her kitchen. You know, it's not her whole house, at least it's her kitchen. And people destroy marriages, mamish. The ikker in this world is clear to me, is shalom bias. Well, we'll dispute, fine. Covet to your wife. Your wife has to feel that she's a good person. Don't be very careful putting pressure on her to do anything. Putting pressure in davening, putting pressure on her. Because when you put pressure on her, that means that if she's not doing it, that means you don't respect her. And if she feels her husband doesn't respect her, then there's a problem. She feels hurt. The Gemara says in Kiddushin that a lady says, that if a lady's husband is more chasha than she thought, it could be kedusha talis. She thinks that he's a simple guy, and he really is more chasha. He is more yichas. So Gemara says a lady says that the lashon is misana derav mikray lai beina. I don't want a shoe that's bigger than my foot. Gemara says, a lady says, I don't want a shoe bigger than my foot. A lady's not interested. A lot of guys, you know, they say, you're so lucky, you're married to such a chush of a guy. You're a simple girl, you know, you're not the Rebbetzin type. You're a simple girl. You're so lucky, you're married to such a chush of a guy who everyone gives so much respect. Shaita. A fool. A lady wants to feel that she's, especially in our society, maybe if Mala was that way, a lady could feel that, you know, that she could feel like her husband's the hero and she'll be the slave to her husband. But generally speaking, now in this society, a lady wants to feel that her husband respects her as an equal. Her husband looks up to her, husband respects her values and respects her character. So he's got to find things to appreciate about his wife. He's got to get crooked mishagasim out of his head. He's got to make his wife feel, not to put pressure on his wife. There are very subtle ways of a person destroying his wife's covet. First, he's very careful. His wife has to feel that she's chashev. When she does something, you say, her whatever good things that she does. A lot of times there's so many people married to such tremendous wives, but because they have their own foolish of ideas of what makes a good wife or what makes a good a tzaddikas, so they destroy their wives, destroy the shalom bias. You know, it's a chur, there's a churban out there of people that do this. You know, there's a churban out there. There's no words to describe it. I'm clear as day that person who works on the inyanim of treating his wife with kavod, shalom bayis, all good things are going to come out from his home. You know, all good things are going to come out from his home. All brachas are going to come out from his home. You'll see the kindleach, everything. It'll be all bracha. All the mishagasim get out of your head. Just make sure your wife feels good. That's all. Make sure your wife feels important. Put all your baskets there. It's like filling the water, filling the glass. Fill the cup, fill your wife, and Hashem will overflow everything else. Don't worry about so much the rest of the world as you first make sure that you are the best husband. There's no shaila, that's the most important thing, responsibility of a person. Therefore, a person has to be very careful how he gives his wife musa. Same concept. First, a lot of times, a person should really sometimes has to give his wife musa. His wife seeks lashon hara. His wife thinks things are inappropriate. It's very tricky. Because as soon as you're giving your wife musar, that automatically is like saying, you're lacking. I'm better than you. Automatically, a person feels not respected when a person's giving musar to them. And a lot of husbands, you know, are very quick to give musar. And a person has to be very, very careful. So many times, first of all, people don't realize their own weaknesses. You're always giving their wife, husbands always giving their wife musar. Oh, you don't want to have guests, and you don't want to daven. You say lashon hara. They're always giving musar. First of all, they fail to realize all their own problems. Now, one doesn't have to do with the other necessarily. You could help someone else and still have your own problems. But they're so unaware. They come across to their wife as like, you know, look at this. You do wrong, and they think they're Mr. Perfect. You know, they don't realize their own proud, their own chesronos. And they hurt their wives in their musa. There's so many ways to. So how about this? A guy has a wife that speaks too much lashon hara. So let's see you be very, very careful in lashon hara, which means you're very careful not to say anything to your wife that's lashon hara. If your wife says something to you that's lashon hara, so you're not allowed to be makabel. That's part of kelvin. So then you got to say, you know, I don't want to insult you. I'm saying, but we try not to. We don't want to, you know, say anything negative. Don't make it the whole. You don't have to make a whole from spiel of it. Lashon hara, and someone says lashon hara. You don't have to give your wife a whole musa shmuz. There are nice ways of doing it. We don't want to talk negative. And I don't want to hear. Your wife will learn from you. A lady will learn from her husband, especially if he gives his wife respect and he's nice and treats his wife like she's a queen. So of course she's going to want to learn from him. She'll want to imitate him if he's a person that she likes. You could be a big rav. She might. There are many big rabbanim. Their wives hate them. Has to be that your wife likes you. You give your wife enough respect, she'll want to copy you. So why are you giving all these musar? Why don't you start learn shmiras? Say you want to make a seder with her, not because she speaks lashon hara. You still want to make a seder with her, and then you know only don't learn shmiras lashon. you know, something I have to work on, everyone has to work on. Make a seder with an Shmiras Lashon. Don't have to be with an attack. To be very careful, it doesn't even help. Your wife's not going to respond to it. You're a Musar. If your Musar is done in such a way which is going to break her self-respect, break her covet. You know, at the Shabbos table, you could think, you could try. You know, a person wants to say on the Shabbos table, Avart, that speaks about Shmiras Lashon. Avart that speaks about doing Chesed. Avart that speaks about davening. There are many ways, you know, to give muster in a way that would not hurt. And if a person, by the way, could think of another way, he's obligated to do so. You know, it's like halacha, if someone's going to kill somebody, so you're not allowed to shoot him in the heart. You can't kill the right day if you could shoot him in the leg. If you shoot him in the leg, you can't shoot him in the heart. And if you do shoot him in the heart, you're a retzeach. So lahavda, I mean, same concept. Person gives someone muster in a his wife muster in a destructive way. He's a retzeach. He's doing something. He's hurting her for no reason. If he would have just not been lazy and thought about how he can give his wife muster in a nice way, you know, in a positive way, when you know, in a joke, sometimes you do a joking way when it's not, you know, not making it the whole battle, not making it the whole big deal, and not hurt the covet of his wife. He's obligated to do so. Okay. Let's go to the finale here. We spoke about, been speaking about the whole time, the importance of giving other people covet. So now let's just speak about the reverse. That we have to be very, very careful, obviously, you know, not to be mezalzel in other people's covet. Not to cheapen other people's covet. Not to hurt someone else's respect. You know, the Gemara says it's a Gemara in Tainus, that the Chazal say, La'asad lava, all the animals are going to come to the snake, and they're going to tell him, you know, they're going to tell the snake, we understand the lion kills its prey and eats. The wolf kills its prey and eats. But what hanah do you get, Mr. Snake, from your food? So the snake answers back, and there's no gain for the person that speaks Lashon Hara either. There's no gain for the person that speaks Lashon Hara either, and yet he speaks Lashon Hara. So I've heard Rav Kalish ask, you know, people ask the obvious question that what do you mean there's no Hana in Lashon Hara? There's no Hana in Lashon Hara. People have a strong taiva to say Lashon Hara. They have a strong taiva to hear a good juicy piece of Lashon Hara. Why is the Gemara comparing it to a snake eating dirt? You know, what's the comparison? I think the emes of pshat is, the real answer is that what the Chazal are teaching us, there's a big difference between the hana of Lashon Hara and the hana of a piece of steak. A healthy person enjoys steak. You could be the biggest tzaddik in the world, you could be the biggest parish in the world, you enjoy a piece of steak. Otherwise there's something wrong with you. Shabbos is the mitzvah of Einik Shabbos. You're supposed to be able to enjoy a piece of food. You're supposed to be able to enjoy the hanas of this world. But the hana of saying Lashon Hara, the hana of hurting someone else's covet, is that only for sick people. It's a person who's sick, who is a choli ha-nefesh. A person who has a sickness enjoys putting someone else down. Now obviously it's something that we might be born with this sickness. But it's a chesaron in us. If a person would be a healthy person, who had self-respect, who was a mechubedika person, who, he has no reason, he has no gain, there's no enjoyment in someone else's degradation. What enjoyment is there for a healthy person? It's because, like we said earlier, he's a mechubed, a mechabed, a sabrius. Who's an honorable person? Someone that honors others. Who's the opposite? Who enjoys being mezalzel other people? A mezalzel. Person who doesn't understand what he's worth, who's, what do I gain from putting someone else down? You're putting yourself up. There's no intrinsic, a healthy person, if we'd be really healthy, we'd not be able to stand hearing someone else being put down. We wouldn't be able to stand putting someone else down. What benefit is there? It's only we're angry at the person, it's revenge, we're fighting something. A healthy, healthy person in complete healthiness has no enjoyment out of Lashon Hara. That's what I think Chazal teaches us. It's a sickness. It's the sickness of the snake. It's the destructiveness of our well-being that would cause us to enjoy Lashon Hara. Putting someone else down. So very careful in how we treat other people. And speak about the inyan of giving a person, when a person gives someone musar, a person gives someone taichacha, Kenny has to be very careful not to hurt the other person. What's the main thing? What's the main thing that people when I'm given musar, when a person's given musar, what's the main thing that, why does it hurt someone so much when someone given musar? You know, you thought you were so perfect, you didn't recognize you do things wrong. In life, so we could do an avera, and we can know we did an avera. When someone comes over and doesn't tell us, you know, what you did wasn't right, smash. We're smashed. Why are we so smashed? The reason is because it bothers us so much that somebody else should not have the respect for us. It bothers someone else that someone else should see my chesronos. Someone else should think of me in a negative way. It really bothers us. Bothers us so much that someone else should see that I did something wrong. He should see that I said lashon hara. Everyone knows it. It's very hard for a person. That's why musar bothers a person, because it's very hard. You know, musar bothers a person maybe if a person gives it in a, if a person gives it in a demeaning way, you're a rasha, fine. But even if a person gives musar in a nice way, it's always going to hurt. Because it's always going to hurt that someone else knows you did something wrong. So that therefore, when a person gives someone musar, he's got to make it, it says in the pasuk, it's a famous var, heicheach, heicheach esam yisecha, v'lo sisa alav chei. So, I don't know the literal shah in the pasuk, but I want to say, lo sisa alav chei, don't put a chei upon him. Don't say, ooh, you said lashon hara, it's such an aveira, you have to be so careful how you talk. Don't blow it up. Put it in the smallest way possible. You know, you said this, I don't know if it was right. And let the person chop on his own. In all, you know, in all likelihood, in cases where we'll be able to chop on his own, he'll chop on his own, oh, it's lashon hara. He'll chop on his own. Doing away, you know, with this guy, I saw he was a little bit insulted, I don't know, you probably didn't mean to say anything. He'll chop on his own what he did. He shouldn't know that you know how bad he did, what he did. Because that really hurts. And another thing on the same line, you know, Rav Kalish says a nice part that we see this from Yaakov Avinu, that Yaakov, when he meets the shepherds, so he has a whole conversation with them, my brothers, where are you from, what's going on, you know, Lavan. And then he says to them, you know, what are you guys still doing, schlepping around over here, it's time to get back, you have to work. It's very careful when a person gives someone musar, if I go over to somebody and the first thing I tell them is, you know, forgive me, I want to just let you know something. So when you, first thing you do that, first thing you come over to the guy with a fake piece of musar, so in the guy's head, he's thinking, oh, he's thinking about what I did wrong. It's on his head. If let's say you're in the middle of a conversation, you're speaking to somebody, what's going on, the family, oh, you know, I meant to, I've been meaning to tell you something. So that means, it's not something I really think about all the time, oh, I just remembered, I have to tell you that this thing you did, I think you might have made a mistake, you know, I think it wasn't right, you know. Forgive me for saying so. If it's in the middle of a conversation, it changes the whole musar. Because he's not thinking about it. He just remembered that he forgot to tell me. Something that's on his mind. He doesn't judge you. He's not focused. Ooh, Moshe Dan Kesmam. He said Lashon Hara. I don't feel the person's looking at me differently now. He changes attitude towards me. Yeah, he realizes I made a mistake. I did something wrong. And he wants to help me out. It's very important. Again, before you ever give musar to someone, it just requires thought. How can I give musar away? How do I like people when people give me musar? How do I like how people give me musar? To think, before I give someone musar, how can I do it in such a way, you know, that will be the less hurtful? Also, again, the Dalmakav Schuss, you know, think maybe a lot of times the person made a mistake. So even you come over to him, even if you come over to the guy and say, you must have made a mistake that you must have not realized, you know, you said, you know, do it in such a way where the guy, you understand the person made a mistake. And Mimela, the guy, even if the guy did it on purpose, he'll still feel better that you didn't assume that he's a Rasha. You didn't assume he's a Rasha. You know what? The truth is I blew it. I did the wrong thing. But the guy doesn't feel bad because you didn't assume I did the wrong thing. You assumed that I made a mistake. So even if you don't even believe it, but at least if you give the guy a Pesach, give the guy a doorway where the guy doesn't feel that you look down on him, that the guy doesn't feel that you look down upon him because of what he did, that changes the whole, that doesn't hurt his cover. Another thing, if you don't mind, we'll just a few more minutes just to finish up here. We'll get to Kass next time. That also to be careful not to take away someone's covet. I know this works for me. I never heard really someone speak this out, but I know from personal experience it's quite obvious. I know, let's say I give a speech. No. So someone comes over to you right after, when you give a speech, you give a yadav for the amid, you do something, so you feel good. Automatically, you want to feel good at least, especially if people give you comments, so you feel good about yourself. You know, when someone comes over to you, I know it happened to me, a guy comes over to you and says, that was such a great speech, I really enjoyed it. You know, just next time, I think you should speak a little louder. Or the guy comes over to you and says, you know, you spoke so well, so great, next time I think, you know, if you would have put in a joke, you would have perfected the speech. I don't know, maybe I'm just mishugging it. But then I start walking around thinking, oh, I should have spoke louder. Why didn't I speak louder? Oh, I should have spoken in a joke. Oh, I shouldn't. The guy says, oh, you're diving so nicely for that niggin. You could have used a better niggin. So a guy doesn't necessarily, you just punched his covet. You just took a stab at his covet now because he feels so good he did something good. When you point out there's one mistake, the nature of most people is, then he's, you know, I know I spoke well, but why didn't I put in the joke? I could have done it better. So automatically the person now is focused on what he should have done, as opposed to what he did. So my suggestion is that if a person feels he has something constructive to tell something, like the guy Taka is a good speaker, but he needs an improvement, and you Taka feel that you should point out to him. You know, sometimes, a lot of the times it's not necessary, but let's say it's Kedai. So the Pasha Eitz is, go to him in 2 days. All the covers in front of him that hour. After an hour, most people forget about, you know, not still self-absorbed with what they just did. After the next day, 2 days ago, the guy, he said, you know, by the Shevet Baruch, you spoke so well. You know, I meant to tell you, you know, next time, speak a little bit louder so everyone could hear you. Imagine. Not only did you not hurt the guy by telling me he should have spoke louder, Yitaka made him feel good because he still remembered his speech from 2 days ago. What was hurtful then is a comment later. So a guy davened so amen, Yitaka picked a bad tune, or he did something wrong, he made a mistake. Don't go afterwards and say, oh, you davened very nicely, you know, but you didn't do it right. It really punctures a guy's covet. 2 days from then, I remember you davened so nicely, I was meaning to tell you that, you know, that by Kedusha, you should have waited, whatever, you should have done this, you should have waited for everyone to finish. Even the smallest criticism, when the covet's there, can be very, you can take away a person's covet, as opposed to building someone's covet. Also, a guy comes to you with a shtickle, you know, a guy once came to you with a shtickle tire. You know, a guy comes to you with a kasha, a guy comes with a shtickle tire. You know, you have to realize that, is he coming for you because he wants to know whether the shtickle tire is right? But at least 90% of him is coming because he wants covet. He wants a person to say, we're normal. He wants a person to say, oh, that's a good var, it's a good tire. So imagine a guy comes to you with a kasha, or a shtickle tire. A guy spent time with a shtickle tire. So I have a shtickle tire, I want to tell you, and he tells you a shtickle tire. You say, it's great, it's beautiful, you know, but it's not mash the way in Rashi. You could destroy someone's covet. As opposed to, let's say you tell him, oh, that's an, but you want to tell him the truth. You don't think that tire is supposed to be corrupted. So there are other ways of doing it. You know, you could tell him, you know, this once worked for me. I told the guy, such an illusion, shtickle tire, I don't know how you thought of it, it's mama's brilliant. For like at least a few, you know, good time. The guy was like smiling ears to ears. I said, but I'm not sure if he could say it. I'm not sure if it's MS, because, see Rashi? So the guy was so willing to listen, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Because if the guy just told you what you said was brilliant, so I'm willing to listen to what he said, oh, it's not Masha and Rashi, because he didn't really care. He wasn't so concerned with God that his shtickle tire had to be MS. He wanted the appreciation, that someone should appreciate what he said. You can make a person feel great for what he said. And then you could tell him, maybe I could have waited till the next day. But you could, even at the time, if you know how to give the person what he's looking for, and then you could tell him, there's a kasha. But the first thing you say, oh, it's very nice, but I don't know, about Rashi. You destroy the person's, you took away the person's whole cover. You destroyed his cover. So last nakuda is also to be careful not to enjoy, not to receive benefit from someone else's degradation. As Chazal referred to as nati miskabi b'chlon chavera. No one's gonna ask me questions anymore. They think I'm full of it. I'll be honest with you guys. No, okay, don't tell anyone. Miskabi b'chlon chavera. You have to. You should not take honor in other people's degradation. You know, a person slips and falls. It's very, very funny. But we should try to train ourselves that it really isn't fun. That someone else's pain, someone else's embarrassment, it's not something we should laugh at. Sometimes, you know, you have to bite your tongue, But eventually we should try to train ourselves, first of all, obviously not to show any outside enjoyment from someone else's embarrassment. And eventually train ourselves that when someone gets up at a speech and makes a fool of himself, to feel pain, not glee. You know, there's a story with Rabbi Akiva Eger, Madrigat Alter Nevardik brings. Rabbi Akiva Eger came to us before he got married, he came to his father-in-law's town for Shabbos. And everyone heard about Rabbi Akiva Eger's tremendous greatness. There's no question Rabbi Akiva Eger was known even as a young person, his greatness in Torah. And people came over to ask him questions and discuss with him, and they're trying to take shots at him to see is he really, you know, what people think he is. And Rabbi Akiva Eger mamish made himself into very, like, I don't know, he made himself mamish into Amaret, into a simple person. To the point that his father-in-law was thinking about breaking the shidduch. Akiva Eger saw his father-in-law was uneasy. He said to his father-in-law, you know, wait a few days, wait a day, and you'll see. What happened was, Akiva Eger heard there's another chasam in the same town, who was also a chasam, but compared to Akiva Eger, you can come to Akiva Eger's fingernails probably. But he was a chasam of a thing. And he knew that if Akiva Eger shows his greatness, so the whole town will be talking about Akiva Eger. And that would take a tremendous puncture, tremendous shot at this chasam's covet. His respect will be completely lost, insignificant in people's eyes. Akiva Eger said, look, and this is an important thing to know, I don't have to hide my greatness, fine. It's my father-in-law's expense, fine. I don't have to hide my greatness. But to show my greatness at someone else's expense, that this other chassid should be hurt, is something that chas v'shalom, this is why there's a Akiva Eger, that chas v'shalom to do such a thing. But you have to be very careful. It's very, very tricky, you know, very, very careful that if we're not to take covet at someone else's expense, and, you know, and to be very aware, is my covet at someone else's expense, not to hurt other people in my self-absorbment. All right, Emirat Hashem, we'll end the Emirat Hashem that we should be zocha to really understand this. This to me is most crucial area, maybe the most crucial area in life, is the understanding of what covet means to people. The ability to build, as we spoke, to be able to build oneself, which is a key, to be able to build other people, to build his wife, to build his tamidim, to build any person that he comes in contact with, that they should make them feel good. This is a person that Chazal say about kosher ruach abriyas naicha emenu, ruach amakum naicha emenu. That someone that people like is someone that Kodesh Baruch Hu likes. Someone that people like is not someone for his popularity, someone for his money. Kosher ruach abriyas naicha emenu, bottom line, and I'm seeing it more and more, different things. Bottom line, people really chap. People really, really chap when a person's someone that respects other people and is not egotistical, and when someone doesn't really respect other people. People really, really do chap. And someone that other people do respect, other people do like, it's because he possesses this quality of being able to respect other people. Again, because he's able to respect himself. And this person will be zaycha, there's no question, to build his own world, as we called it earlier, to build his own world, his children's world, his wife's world, everyone who comes in contact with him will be a person that's just building other people around him. And such a schus, just an unbelievable schus to be someone that's able to build other people. But that's you're building some, you're creating a person. A person without covet is not a mensch. When you give someone else covet, a person has his children to build, a person builds. It's such a power that's people are unaware of this power. It's the most powerful thing in the world. Covet is so powerful. You can take a kid that's not from, if you give him enough covet, you can make him from. People are desperate for covet. Most of the kids that go off the derech have low self-esteem, 99.9. They might act cool and show cool and this cool. They're not cool. They're not really cool. They're never treated with covet. We know for ourselves that when we love people, look, I have special affinity to people that make me feel good. We all have special affinity to people that make them feel good, you know? And it's such a power to be able to do that for someone else, you know, by the one of my best feelings in my life was recently, I was able to make someone feel good. Such a good feeling to be able to make someone feel good, because $1 million, I've never felt so good. To be able to make someone feel good. It's such a good feeling. And we should really be conscious of it. I'm Ritz Hashem, I should improve myself. We should improve ourselves. And I thank you guys for coming. All right, let's get angry. Next.